Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. If you've seen the movie Slapshot, then you've heard that song about 53 times in each running time of the movie. I've never counted how many times they play Maxine Nightingale in Slapshot. Maybe I'll do that Tuesday night. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. All of our regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. There you go. But the reason why we played that song is because, again, as I mentioned, it's featured in Slapshot, which I am screening this coming Tuesday night, the 8th, at the Rosemont, AMC Rosemont 18. And I'm very excited to be showing. It's one of my favorite movies of all time and certainly the best hockey movie ever made. And in order to talk a little bit more about it, well, we have author Jonathan Jackson with us. He is the author of a book called The Making of Slapshot, which is the behind-the-scenes stories of how the movie got made. And I'm sure he's got a lot to talk about, and so we want to welcome Jonathan to the show. Jonathan, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right, real good, real good. So your background now is in sports, right? Is it like sports writing?
Yeah, I was a newspaper reporter for about 20 years in my hometown of Owen Sound, Ontario, and it was in that role that I sort of came upon this story and decided to write a book about it.
Yeah, it's tremendous. I love the fact that you have the in the prologue you include the fake Reggie Dunlap obit, which I really like.
Yeah, that was written by another writer named Stu Hackle. He really captured the spirit of the thing. If you don't mind me answering that for you.
Yeah. Thank you, M. Emmett Walsh. I appreciate that. Well, tell me about you personally, when you first saw Slapshot. Being obviously from Ontario, you're obviously a hockey fan, and being into sports and covering it and things like that. When was the first time that you saw Slapshot?
I was about 12 years old, and it was an edited version on TV, probably still too young. I guess the first time I saw the unedited version was on VHS, maybe about a year or so later. Mm-hmm. And but I knew about it because my older brother had seen it in theaters when it first came out, and he had a novelization of the film that he had bought. And I pinched that from him. I was just fascinated by it, and it was just chock full of all the language that that a young boy would be interested in. And I still have it to this day. And just at one point, it just became mine, and I still own it, and I still read it every once in a while just for the inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was 12 as well, Jonathan, but I saw it in the theater with my dad, unedited. And I remember when the movie came out, you know, the ads in the newspaper, in addition to having like the R rating on it, also said there's really strong language in this movie. I remember them specifically pointing out the language. I mean, they dropped the F-bomb like 500 times in this movie. I was 12, and I was delighted when I was 12 when I saw it. I've been a hockey fan my whole life, too.
That's amazing. You've got a very open-minded dad, I got to say.
Oh, he took me to see The Exorcist when I was 8, Jonathan, so... So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's completely crazy. Completely crazy. So, yeah, I've loved this movie since when it came out, and I've seen it hundreds of times, and I am really excited to see it back on the big screen again, because we're hosting this screening, Jonathan, on Tuesday at this beautiful big theater with digital projection and new sound and everything. We got a new digital print of it, and I haven't seen it in the movie theater since it was in the theaters, 40 years ago. So I'm very excited.
I've seen it twice in theaters. The most recently was in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, cool.
In February of 2017 for the 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
It is quite an experience to see it on the big screen, I can tell you that.
It is, and it's also going to be so much fun because, like watching that movie with an audience, it's one thing, because I've seen it 100 times with some friends or, like in your living room or something, but to see it in a big movie theater with an audience and just how that movie works on an audience and how funny it is and how the audience goes completely nuts when the movie's on.
Absolutely, they do. It's a real experience, and it's something that I'd like to do again sometime. Just because it's one thing, as you say, to watch it, at home or if you're on the bus, if you're a member of a hockey team. But it's it's quite another to do it, you know, surrounded by other fans. There's a real camaraderie that we all share with that movie. So, yeah, it is quite quite thrilling to take part in something like that.
When we get to the before we get to, you know, the how the book started and everything about the, you know, about the book, in your, you know, covering hockey and things like that, Slapshot has to be like the Bible to hockey players, right? You mean semi-pro, pro, everything?
Absolutely. I mean, like that movie's now coming up 42 years old, and you know, there are people watching it whose parents weren't even born when it came out, and like hockey players whose parents weren't born at the time, and it gets passed down like a talisman of sorts. I don't know if I can sort of use that, but yeah, it seems to me it's almost like a pseudo-religious experience for it, like, to get passed down from one generation of players to the other. It's like a rite of passage, and it's to watch that movie on the bus with your team.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's interesting to watch the movie now. I mean, I'm a huge hockey fan, and obviously, Jonathan, you know, Chicago's a big hockey town, and except for this season, we've been doing pretty well. We've been doing pretty well. Three cups in, you know, in 5 years is pretty good. That's a movie that, you know, like if you go to the United Center here and you go to a Hawks game, there are a lot of moments where they have stuff on the big Jumbotron to keep you interested, you know, during when whistles blow and all that stuff during intermissions. And they have sometimes profiles of the players on the team with these little bullet points. And inevitably, when they say what their favorite movie is, like 9 times out of 10, it's Slapshot. it's their favorite movie.
Let me guess, the 10th time it's Youngblood or Miracle or Mystery Alaska.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's funny. When you watch Slapshot now, it's startling how different the game is now than it was back in the 70s. You know, when you watch the movie, you're like, oh, my God, they couldn't get away with. Well, I mean, obviously, in Slapshot, they couldn't get away with 95% of the stuff they do on the ice. But just the way the game was played in the 70s as opposed to the way it's played now, it's interesting to see how different that is.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you watch it. Nobody's got a helmet. Well, I guess there's one guy with a helmet on. You know, no ads on the boards or on the ice.
Yeah.
You know, very rudimentary equipment, even for the goalies. It's like a whole different world, really. I mean, it's a world that I remember because I'm old enough to remember it. But a lot of people nowadays who watch the movie and love the movie, it's like stepping back in time for them, because they just have no concept of what that world was actually like.
It's interesting to see really young people's reactions. Well, you know, young people who are old enough to, you know, watch the movie, you know, however that was, I think 12, just because that's when I saw it. But their reaction to, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? There's a wooden sticks. There's no helmets. The padding is completely different. You know, to watch people's reactions to it, and then just tell them, yes, that's how they played hockey back then.
Oh yeah, it's quite amazing how the game has evolved, and you know, and we have that visual reminder of where it came from.
Yep, absolutely. So let's talk about the origin of the book. Okay, you were covering sports and everything as a journalist, and obviously the movie meant a lot to you. And so when did you come up? You came up with the idea. I was like, I want to write a book about Slapshot. Was that where it came from?
Well, I had heard about a cast reunion charity golf tournament that was taking place at a golf course near Toronto. And so I went to that thinking that, A, it would be fun just to, you know, see some of these people that I've grown up with. And I thought, you know, being a writer, that it might be something I could get an article out of, whether a newspaper article or even pitch an article to a magazine as a freelancer. And when I went there and I met all of the different cast members who were there, I mean, there was the actors who played Tim, Dr. Hook, McCracken, Denny Lemieux, Billy Charlebois, and just listening to their stories and getting them on my tape recorder and in my notebook, I became aware very quickly that there was going to be way more information than I would ever be able to fit into an article.
Yeah.
You know, and do the story justice. So I just started thinking of something a little bit bigger. I'd always had in my head that I wanted to write a book about something, so that became my something.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, listen, Jonathan, hang on, okay? Okay, Jonathan Jackson is with us. He is the author of The Making of Slapshot, and it's a terrific book about the making of Slapshot, and I'm hosting a screening of it. If you've never seen it, you've never seen it on the big screen. It is hilarious. It is awesome, and we're going to screen it on Tuesday, January 8th. I'm hosting it. It's at the AMC Rosemont 18 Movie Theater. It starts at 8 o'clock, and beforehand, starting at 6 o'clock, you can go to Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, which is right down the block, and they're giving us 15% off of all our food purchases with a receipt or a ticket stub proving that you're going to see Slapshot. And they have an old-time beer special, old-time hockey beer special of $2 Schlitz Tall Boys, which is pretty great. So come on out, have some dinner. The Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant is fantastic. It's a great place. The food is good. You get 15% off, and then go over and see Slapshot on the big screen. And if you want to call up the Caddyshack restaurant for reservations or more information, 847-443-3673. 847-443-3673. Tell them you're with the film club and you're going to see Slapshot, and you can make a reservation or you can get some information from those guys directly at the Caddyshack restaurant. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, more with Jonathan Jackson, author of The Making of Slapshot, right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features are coming up. And we're also going to talk about ranking the best movie theater candy. We got some more local entertainment stories from 2018 to cover and much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We are talking with Jonathan Jackson, who is the author of The Making of Slapshot. I'm hosting a great screening of it on Tuesday night, January 8th, at the AMC Rosemont 18. Go to amctheaters.com. Reserve your seats now for that that night of watching one of the greatest movies ever made. And let's get back to Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, Nick, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you giving me the time here.
Absolutely.
This morning.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for staying up with us. So it all starts, the movie, it all starts with Nancy Dowd. Can we talk a little bit about that, how that began and who she is?
Nancy Dowd is a screenwriter. I'm not sure she's writing anything nowadays. I don't believe that she is. And she had a younger brother named Ned Dowd, who was a hockey player with some professional aspirations. And he ended up in Johnstown playing for a hockey team called the Johnstown Jets. This was 1973-74. Mm-hmm. And she, was talking with him about the crazy stories that he was going through, you know, as a hockey player in this league called the North American Hockey League, about two steps below the NHL. And so she went to visit him, and she was just, like, just really taken with, the people that she met, the stories, the experiences. So she started, visiting the dressing room, like, during their games and practices and sort of recording their conversations. And then after she left and went back to wherever she was living, I think she might have been in California at that time, but she left a tape recorder with Ned and, asked him to keep recording the conversations in the dressing room and sending her the tapes. And she wrote a lot of the scripts, based on the dialogue of the actual Johnstown Jets hockey team. And some of those players actually ended up in the movie playing fictional versions of their real selves.
Yeah. That's why there's such an absolute authenticity to that movie. And I think that's one of the reasons why it appeals so much to actual hockey players, because it's real. This is the way it was at that time.
It absolutely was very real, but unfortunately that led to some trouble when they were trying to get the movie made, because, of course, the script was full of all kinds of profanities and obscenities, and, up until that moment in the 70s, stuff like that was not heard in major Hollywood motion pictures, and certainly nobody wanted to accept that, professional athletes would ever talk like that, but of course they did. It was just the first time that we accepted that reality.
Yeah. And now, tell everybody where it was shot for authenticity purposes, because it takes place in Charleston. Well, most of it takes place in Charlestown when they're not on the road.
Yeah, Charlestown is Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and that's where the movie was mainly filmed. And they secured the cooperation of the hockey team, so the Johnstown Jets became the Charlestown Chiefs, and Johnstown became Charlestown, and they used a lot of local places. There's the statue of the dog in the park.
Which, by the way, the statue of the dog inspires my favorite line in the movie. I can't say it. It's Lindsay Krause's reaction to the story behind the dog. It's my favorite line in the entire. It's my favorite line in the entire movie.
Yep, the dog that saved Charlestown from the 1938 flood. Yeah. Well.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So they weren't sure where they were going to film the movie, but Nancy and Ned both felt that if they wanted it really to be authentic, then it should be where the team had really played, and it was a Cinderella story for real. They came from basically out of nowhere to earn a playoff spot. They won the championship in 1975, and so basically, what you're seeing is the story of that team. It's almost like a quasi documentary, and so it was only fitting that it was filmed, primarily in the town where it had been inspired in the first place.
Where'd the Hanson brothers come from?
The Hanson brothers, their real names are Carlson. There's Jeff Carlson, Steve Carlson, and Dave Hanson, and they're all from Minnesota. And there were three Carlson brothers, Jeff, Jack, and Steve, as well as Dave Hanson there. So there were the four Minnesota boys. And the Johnstown Jets, I should add, they were a farm club of the Minnesota Fighting Saints of the WHA.
Mm.
And so the Fighting Saints sent a bunch of guys, including the Carlsons and Dave Hanson, to Johnstown. And so in the script, Nancy Dad transposed their surnames. So the Carlson brothers became the Hanson brothers, and Dave Killer Hanson became Dave Killer Carlson.
Ah, gotcha, I'm right.
So, one of the Carlson brothers, Jack, he got called up to Minnesota in the WHA. That team folded in mid-season, and he went to Edmonton to play for the Oilers. And so he wasn't available to play his fictional self in the movie. So because Dave Hanson was close with the brothers, they moved him over to play Jack Hanson, and then they hired actor Jerry Hauser to play the role of Dave Killer Carlson.
Right, which also inspires one of my favorite lines in the movie is Dave's a mess. That's also one of my favorite.
Dave's a killer.
Dave's a mess. So let's talk a little bit about what the filming was like. I'm sure all the guys got along. I'm sure they had to spend a lot of time together. I understand that Paul Newman was like sort of a beer animal during the making of the movie.
Yeah, he drank Coors at the time. That was his preferred brand, and he had a bunch of cases shipped to Pennsylvania so he could drink it while he was there filming the movie. And they would go out. It was like a real hockey team. They went out drinking. He was a regular guy. He bought a round when it was his turn to do so, and they drank in the dressing room between scenes because they would film all day, but they would only film. Like, they'd be there all day, but they would only film like certain parts of the day. The rest of the time, they would just go out and horse around on the ice and drink beer in the dressing room. It was just like a real hockey team.
Yeah. And they did. I mean, it's really impressive because a lot of the guys did their own skating. And I know I'm talking outside of the actual hockey players that they put in the movie. The actors did some really pretty impressive skating, including Newman.
Yeah, they hired actors who could skate, who could carry it off. Michael Ontkean being one, the guy who played Ned Braden.
Right.
He had played Division I at the University of New Hampshire. So in addition to being an accomplished actor, he was a very accomplished hockey player and probably could have played minor pro at the very least, if not in the NHL. There were any number of guys, a lot of Canadians. Got hired to make the movie.
Yeah.
And Newman had grown up in Cleveland. His father owned a sporting goods store, so he had grown up playing winter sports.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got on skates, it took him a little while to get back into into skating form. He was not a particularly strong skater, but he could get from point A to point B without looking bad.
Yeah. Those guys who come out at the end when they put that team together, the killer team at the end for the championship game, a lot of those guys were real players, right? I mean, the guy who played, who was the guy who played Ogie Oglethorpe?
That's Ned Dowd.
Right,
the,
right.
the brother of Nancy to have the screenwriter.
Right.
and he was kind of a pacifist character in real life. Like, basically, that's who Ned Braden is based on, is Ned Dowd.
Yeah.
And so for him to play the super goon, Odie Oglethorpe, was a real twist. But
yeah.
but he enjoyed his little bit of screen time there, as well as being the consultant who coordinated all the hockey scenes.
Who were some of the people that you talked to in the book?
Oh, geez. I talked to a lot of people, and what really made this a rewarding experience was I would talk to somebody and tell them what I was doing, and then they would say, oh, well, have you talked to so-and-so? And they would put me in touch with the next person.
Sure.
And so it snowballed really quickly. So I was able to talk to a lot of the actors who filmed the movie, as well as some of the hockey players who played in the movie themselves.
Right.
Like Paul Stewart, the future NHL referee, he was an extra in the movie.
Oh, okay. And also you got Michael Onkin. You got Michael Onkin to do the forward, and it's really a great forward too.
Yeah, he was really, really kind and really gracious. And I guess a myth has kind of sprung up over the years that he was kind of standoffish and didn't really want anything to do with the movie, and that couldn't be further from the truth. He's always been very proud of his role in the movie, and he was really kind in talking with me and agreeing to write the foreword. I really appreciated that, and still do to this day.
And the people that were involved in the movie, like the Hollywood people that were involved in the movie, how do they feel about its legacy and that it's still 42 years later? People still love this movie. I mean, did it come as a surprise? Like, was Nancy Dowd surprised at how it became such a thing?
I'm not sure really what they were expecting. I know that because George Roy Hill was the director, and he had directed Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and he had directed The Sting, and he'd won the Oscar for Best Director for that movie. And they were two of the biggest box office hits in history. So
yeah.
I think they were expecting Slapshot to be a hit. I'm not sure they expected it to be quite on that level, but they certainly did expect it to do well. It was a big budget film from Universal. They budgeted $6 million for the picture, which was a pretty substantial amount.
Yeah.
A huge movie star in Paul Newman. So they were expecting it to make an impact. I can't believe that they foresaw that it would become a cult classic and still be
right
what it is 42 years later.
Right And so obviously you weren't able to talk to Paul Newman, but it is known that Paul Newman really loves the movie and was proud of it.
I didn't get to talk to him, but I did interview at length his brother, who was a producer on the film. And through him I was able to have an interview with Paul via fax machines and emails and whatnot, so that I was able to get his voice that way. I wasn't able to speak to him personally, but I was able to get him to cooperate to some extent. And that was a huge thrill.
It's got to be. And he loves the movie, correct? I mean, he has great memories of it.
He wouldn't admit it so much to me, but I know from talking to many people that was his favorite film that he had ever made.
Yep.
That was his favorite film in his whole career. He had the most fun making it.
Yep.
He felt it was probably the most original film he had ever worked on. Some of his dialogue was his favorite that he had ever delivered in front of a camera. And he was just immensely proud of the movie. And he had a habit of looking back on his films like later on and thinking about where he had gone wrong and what he could have done better.
Yeah.
He never felt that way about Slapshot. It was always the film that he felt that he had done the best job on.
And that's my favorite thing about that story, is that Paul Newman, who has made, won an Academy Award, he could have said The Verdict. He could have said because he's made so many of these classic sort of prestigious movies. The fact that his favorite movie that he made is Slapshot makes me very happy.
Absolutely. I mean, like, he's Cool Hand Luke. He was the Hustler. Butch Cassidy, The Sting, like all these classic films that he played starting in the 50s right through, the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah.
And for that film to stand out, that says a lot right there.
It does. It really does. Well, listen, Jonathan, it's been such a pleasure talking to you, man. The book is terrific, and it's called The Making of Slapshot, and we're going to have a great time on Tuesday night watching it on the big screen. I'm wearing my Chiefs Dunlop sweater, So
I've got a number 7 sweater of my own. Yeah, so, yeah, good job.
I always go. A lot of people go with the with one of the Hansons. I always go number 7. That's where I go. So
ditto. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'd like to say, but before I go, Nick, the book is currently out of print, but I am working to get it back into print. And still hoping to get it out there to people who are interested in the story and want to know more about the movie.
Okay, but portions of it are available. You can check it out. And also, do you have a website that people can check out?
I just have a Facebook page. It's just Slapshot Book, like facebook.com/slapshotbook, and that'll take you to the page that I maintain, the Making a Slapshot. And, I post little nuggets on there from time to time, and hopefully people will check it out and stay tuned.
Well, it's been great having you on, Jonathan. I really appreciate it, and we're going to have me and all my good friends will be having a blast on Tuesday night watching Slapshot on the big screen. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time.
I wish I could be there. Sounds like a good time.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Nick. Take care.
Take care. There you go. Jonathan Jackson, everybody. The book is currently out of print, but there's a Facebook page, and he's working on getting it out there. It's a really terrific book. It's called The Making of Slapshot, and you can see Slapshot this Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Reserve your seats now, amctheaters.com, and we'll see it Tuesday night at AMC Rosemont 18. All right, we'll take a break. We've got the news coming up next on WGN.